The INMO, the Irish Nurses and Midwives Organisation, has written to the Minister for Health to ask him to expedite the payment of the pandemic bonus payment. Now, this payment was promised in January, but most healthcare workers haven't seen sight of it yet. Phil Nihay is General Secretary of the INMO and is on the line. Phil, will you just remind listeners what was promised to your members?
Well, on the 19th of January, the government agreed with the claim that we had lodged at the end of 2020, looking for a bonus for those who had worked in the front line during the pandemic. And that was welcomed by ourselves and others. And we're still waiting, bar two hospitals, Beaumont Hospital and University Hospital Waterford, have paid its staff. And no other hospital has, nor has any community care area.
That's very strange. So what's the explanation for that?
Well, there's all sorts of explanations. We've had a number of meetings with the HSC where some are saying, well, we haven't got the funding yet. For example, this voluntary hospital Section 38 issue. So voluntary hospitals are saying we haven't got the funding from the HSC. Now, Beaumont, being one of them, has already paid it, so we've pointed that out to them. And others are saying they haven't got authority, all sorts of excuses. I think it's just another example of where, when something is agreed, there is no priority given to the implementation. We have had numerous examples of this since our strike in 2019, and this is just another example. Mm-hmm. But what it means, Claire, is those that work in the system, those that hear government ministers and those that hear Paul Reid saying how wonderful they are, they know in their absolute pocket that that's not true. Because when matters are agreed, important matters, like your wages or bonuses that are paid, well, then the priority should be that you pay those that do the work. And there should be no delays. There should be no excuses. And we have now a list of hospitals who are saying to us, we don't know when we'll be able to pay it. Yeah. We have two who have confirmed payment dates for next week.
Okay.
But that's not good enough.
And you met with the HSC this morning. Any light shed on this?
There's a meeting going on at the moment. They're saying that they're asking all hospitals to prioritise. There are all sorts of excuses. But again, look, it's fairly simple. It's not rocket science. It is a tax-free payment which can be paid outside of the normal pay cycle because you don't have any of the normal deductions. And if our intention here is to retain as many healthcare workers having worked during a period of time that was absolutely very difficult for them, well, then we'll pay them and we'll make sure it's paid next week.
You've written to the minister today, and I see in that letter, because I have it here in front of me, the majority of healthcare workers have yet to receive the payments, and you say that's taken all the good news out of this announcement.
Absolutely. I've made this point on a number of occasions before. You know, we welcomed the, first of all, we had to, you know, lodge an industrial relations claim in respect of receiving the pandemic, whereas other workers in the UK and Northern Ireland in the same categories as us didn't. Their governments came forward. Leaving that aside, when it was announced in January, we welcomed it. We welcomed the fact that it was the right thing to do. But when you then have to go into an industrial relations process over and over and over again to get it paid, it actually takes the good news out of it. It's a known goal for government as far as we're concerned.
And what about agency staff, nurses in the community who you mentioned there at the start, people who worked in nursing homes, other healthcare settings outside of the hospitals? I mean, if you're struggling to get it paid to nurses who work in the hospital setting, what's going to happen with these other people?
Well, that's exactly the point. They're going to be delayed even further. So the state and the state's process for payment should be quicker for their own directly hired staff. There is an agreement from government that additional circulars will issue from the Department of Health for those that don't work directly for the state who are eligible and who it is agreed will get the payment. So exactly, if the state is delayed, the delay will be even longer for those outside of the state. And what we've said is, once again, these are people who worked in very difficult circumstances with very little PPE at the beginning, who got infected, some who still have infections with long COVID, and this is not the way to treat them.
The chief executive of the HSE, Paul Reid, was on Morning Ireland this morning, and he was saying again that the last few weeks have been really bad for waiting times for older people in our hospitals. If it's this bad at this point in the year, we're in early summer, what does that say about the system, about what might lie ahead for the system and for patients?
Yeah, and I think it's clear from our trolley count figures that the trolley count has been too high right throughout all of the measurement period from October last year. So this shouldn't be a surprise to the CEO of the HSE. Plus, he said in that interview that the trolley count has decreased. It hasn't. The trolley count this May is double what it was last May. So, and the figures for waiting do not include the time that you're on a trolley. So, for example, the wait times that are measured by the HSE are the time you enter the door, you walk into the ED department, you register at reception until you're admitted. But if you're admitted, most times, as we know, over 500 people a day are admitted to a trolley or a chair in some instances. So that wait time is excluded. So it's a lot longer than the reported figure, because we know from all of the data and good research that has been done into this area, waiting to be seen causes its own negative effects on your outcomes. But being admitted onto a trolley, it has even further clinical negative outcomes associated with it. In other words, the longer you're on a trolley and not in a proper bed space with proper facilities, the more likely you are to have a very negative outcome from that type of healthcare delivery. Right. So this is not improving. Yeah. Sláintecare is, you know, being rolled out piecemeal. We have no urgency in our view in looking at, for example, why are there so many over 75s attending our acute hospital services? What services are available for them outside of the acute hospital? And we look at the delivery of long-term care, 82% of it still through a private model, despite two national reports now saying that needs to be revisited. Sláintecare said that. But the HSE's service plan last year put no funding towards it, towards bringing that service back into the public service delivery model, which is what's needed.
All right. Well, Phil, thank you for joining us this morning. And on the pandemic bonus front, we'll certainly be keeping an eye on any response that you get from the Minister for Health to that letter today. Thank you for joining us on the programme. That's Phil Nihay. Coming up next, the stories behind the music, from Elton John to Motley Crue. Dave Fanning tells his best band biographies of all time.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.